Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. And Sim, last week it was a pretty up and down week for the Boilermakers. Started off on a very low note, a pretty disappointing loss at home. They saw their 26 game home court winning streak snapped. In a game where, they probably should have won. They blew at one point a 16-point lead. But man, did they respond then on Friday of last week with just a domination win against at the time 21 ranked Michigan with a final score there of 91 to 64. And it was a game where they really led from start to finish. And we'll break them down both individually, but just kind of your thoughts after the week, not starting off how we hoped, but man, did they respond exactly the way that you wanted to see, and then some.
Yeah, man. The Ohio State game was definitely disappointing, especially because you have a 13-point lead at half, and just kind of the way we had started out, and it was just kind of like, okay, well, cool, like get this one. And I know we talked last time about how like it was kind of the same way we looked at that West Coast trip, where you're looking at the Ohio State game, and that one looked like the more winnable of the two games. So you're like, hey, at least get this one, and then we'll kind of figure it out. We'll see what happens with Friday. So for that game to kind of go south as quickly as it did, because I feel like within the first 4 minutes of that second half, Ohio State had significantly closed the gap. And then we were in a war. But like you said, the way that they bounced back on Friday, I mean, it was very much so like they were itching to get back out on the court. I was actually like I was watching the first part of the game on my phone. And then between like from when I was like leaving the gym and walking to my car, it went from, I think it was what, 9-2 to then all of a sudden like I think it was what, 29-9. And I was like, wait, what's this? And it was beautiful. It was a lot of stress-free basketball. I mean, even watching the little 5-point run that CJ Cox had and hearing Mackey just go absolutely bananas. Yeah, it was the perfect remedy after what had happened Tuesday night against Ohio State. So I was really proud of the guys for the way that they were able to bounce back and finish and go into their week off on a really high note.
Yeah, and really, all things considered, they even gained a spot in the polls, going from 11 to 10, which you don't really see after losing a game, but that just kind of goes to speak of how well they've played. But let's talk about the game against Ohio State. Like we kind of talked about, it was a game that was right there. They ended up losing 73 to 70. Like we said, snapped a 26 game home court winning streak. And it also snapped a 36 game winning streak in games where Purdue was leading at halftime. It was a really weird game. Braden got into foul trouble early, which really I feel like threw him off. I don't think he would use that as an excuse, but he was never able really to get in any kind of rhythm. Give credit to Ohio State. They knocked down some big shots, man. Obviously Micah Parrish had the game of his life, going 6 of 8 from three, scoring a career had 22 points, but also, guys like Bruce Thornton, who hit two just gigantic threes, one to end the half and then one to start the second half to really get Ohio State rolling. And it really just came down to Ohio State made more shots than we did at the end there.
I know in that, like you said, like Braden getting into foul trouble, and it was so uncharacteristic of him too, because he picked up those two fouls, and honestly, I believe there was a like when he picked up the second one, there was a play before maybe like a minute before, where he actually could and probably should have actually picked up his second foul there. And you look at the box score and you see, well, he only had those two fouls, but like you said, it seemed as though like it hampered him being able to get even into like even remotely into a rhythm offensively. Like obviously we were able to manage and maintain while he was out, you know, being up as much as 16 and 13 at half. And so, you know, your hope is that, hey, we come out in the second half and then Braden, you know, if he can stay out of foul trouble, you know, we kind of hopefully would rather comfortably take this, you know, get into it. But like you said, Bruce Thornton knocks down a huge three at the end of the first half, hits another one, to start the second. They also had several instances where guys were just out here splashing shots at the end of the shot clock. I think it was what Sean Stewart who hit one, I think, from the top of the key, and he's like snapped the net, and it's the first three he's hit all year. And I think when you look at, again, looking at the box score, and the biggest difference is just is in that 3-point shooting. Ohio State shot 11 of 23, and we shot 3 of 9. So, you know, you have that, what is that, a 24-point difference in that 3-point line. And yeah, Micah Parrish, I think of those six threes, I feel like he hit four of them, like in the last like 3, 4 minutes of the game. I think for sure, I think they had like a 15-0 run after we went on a 9-0 run. And we went on that 9-0 run to go up six. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, we're good. And then they came back, and obviously they had that 15-0 run. But like, I think he hit one in transition. And then he hit one where he jab stepped on the corner, on the wing, splash. And then I remember even before he shot like the third one in the corner. I remember just thinking, like, you can't give him any space because, like, I knew it was going to go up as soon as he had it in his hands. And I mean, kudos to them. Like you said, they just, at the end of the day, it was about who made more shots in Ohio State at the hour it mattered was making more shots than we were. And I think we can all agree that if you ever see a stat line where Braden has more field goal attempts than points, you are going to be rather concerned about how Purdue fared in that overall matchup. And you know, him going 3 of 14 and having 12 points, that checks out that we lost.
Yeah, and you know, like it was just kind of like a weird game, but it wasn't a game where like afterwards I didn't feel like panic as I did with some other games. Like, you know, like you said, Brain goes 3 of 14, you get 0 points combined from Caleb, Miles, and Cam. It takes a dude from Ohio State to have the game of his life. You have other dudes who are hitting their first threes of the season, and Ohio State wins by three. So you were right there. You know, it was just one of those games. And I guess kind of my biggest concern about this game is just the impact it'll have at the end of the year. I feel like, you know, if Purdue is on the outside of a Big Ten championship by one game, you're gonna really look back at this game and be like, man, if they wouldn't have let that one slip away. You know, it just has the feeling of like, come March, you're gonna look back and be like, that's the one.
No, I mean, I think we talked about in the lead up to the game that like Ohio State had lost. They lost some close ones recently. They had some one possession game losses. And so it was like, yeah, you know, like some of us were saying, don't overlook this game because it looked like a trap game, but I'm not going to name names. But yeah, I think afterwards, I was just, yeah, I think that's probably why I was annoyed myself is like, because it wasn't like I was expecting Purdue to run the table. Obviously, even just looking at the overall scope of the week, I did have concerns now because I was like, oh man, like what happens if you lose to Michigan? You know, that can start a slide that you don't want. But it very much so feels like, and I actually originally thought this about the Penn State game just because of how that loss was aging. But this Ohio State one definitely feels like the one that, yeah, if we look back at the end of the conference season and we realize, oh, we're a game out of first, or heck, even a game out of like the double bye. I think we'll all look back at this one and be like, damn it, this is the one that we had, and we let go. So, I mean, it happens, and like we said, I mean, the boys did a tremendous job of rebounding, you know, bouncing back, you know, a few nights later. But yeah, this one was just one that it was frustrating as hell too in that second half because it was almost kind of like at least I felt like I just wanted to shake everyone and be like, yo, like get it together, let's fucking go. And it was just like, yeah, like I said, even when you go on that 9-0 run, you take the lead by six and you have a bit of breathing room for yourself. I believe too, there was even an opportunity for us to get the lead back, lead even further up from six, I think, to get it to eight on a couple occasions, and we didn't. And they came back and hit a three, and it was just like, I kind of knew then. I was like, okay, this is going to be stressful to the end. But even then, I still thought maybe we could pull it out. But they go on a, you just don't expect a 15-0 run right after you go on a 9-0 run at home. And I don't know. I haven't seen what Ohio State did since then, but I don't imagine they shot 11 of 23 from three again.
It was a game, too. Like you had kind of hinted at, the perfect recipe for a trap game. I don't think anybody's ever going to make excuses, because everybody has to do the travel on the West Coast trip. But, that much travel that they did in such a short amount of time, especially for a guy like Braden Smith, who, literally is on the court the whole game.
Right.
You got to think that that just wore them down. And then, it was just one of those games. It really feels like now, though, looking forward, like that's the one game was like, all right, well, that was our slip up. Now we got to handle our business. And man, on Friday, did they handle their business?
Yeah.
We had talked, kind of about how uneasy we were going into that game, because it had the potential to be a very big swing game in a negative way, because if Purdue loses that Michigan game, all of a sudden they're at three losses, and pretty firmly in third place in the Big Ten. So for what Purdue still wants to do, and that's win a Big Ten title, it was almost a must-win game, like as close as you're going to get to a must-win game in January. And it had the feel of that. Mackey, had that feel. It was rocking. I think the game just kind of goes to show what kind of leader, what kind of just like player Braden Smith is. Because he had an all-time career game off coming off of, probably one of his worst games. And that's going to happen, but it's all about how you respond. And he really set the tone. Was it like, I think on the very first play, he got a pick six layup. That kind of just got us going. And man, you just look at his stat line, and it's like, what else can he do? Like each time, man, I feel like each time we record, we got a new stat about something that he did. But Friday he was 10 of 17 shooting, and that's only because he was 0 of 4 from three. So that's about the only thing he did wrong, was he couldn't make a three. 10 assists, one turnover, seven rebounds,
Four
four
steals.
steals. Just he did exactly what a leader, what an All-American does after a game like they had earlier in the week.
Yeah, no, that's I think, yeah, I think even you even mentioned it before, before the game, about how, like, man, you just sense a bounce back game coming from Braden. And like you said, that's exactly how you expect. Not, I would say, not even just Braden, but like Braden and Fletch, for those, the way that that those guys responded. But obviously, yeah, Braden being the head of the snake, and just like we talked about, with the way that the foul trouble in the Ohio State game really seemed to kind of throw him off of his rhythm, and to come back out and to have that type of stat line, and really lead the charge, and just kind of, it was like a snowball effect, in terms of what he was able to do for our entire team. It just it really kind of reset. I think it reset everyone's kind of, I think it reset everyone's panic meter. If, like, if you were panicking after the Ohio State game, you watched that Michigan game and you were like, all right. Yep. That just, we're leaving that game where we're like, oh, we're leaving that game on Tuesday. That is what it is. But like, this is more in terms of even just the way that we played, not even necessarily the fact that we scored 91 points, but just the way that we played, the way that we were operating. I mean, the way the way we defended. I mean, we had 14 steals. Michigan had 22 turnovers. We only had six, and I think like three or four of the of our six were like very late in the game when we, you know, when we were emptying out the bench. So, I mean, just it was an all around good performance, and it wasn't even necessarily like the numbers were eye popping statistically. Like from I guess from a team standpoint, obviously with Braden, like, you know, yes, those were eye popping, but it was really nice to see. The way that everyone responded, and especially with Braden, just yeah, like just setting the tone early and being the leader, like you mentioned, it was just yeah, it was really good. He had the highest plus minus at plus 27 too, which you know it checks out. So because when he's playing well, you know I think good things happen for us.
And just to kind of put like a bow on here's his stat of the week. He's the first player this century in either men or women's to have at least 20 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, and one or fewer turnovers against a top 25 opponent.
Seems decent.
So not too bad when you're one of one. But like you said too, I think kind of like just to look at the impact that he had, I know plus minus isn't like the end all be all stat, but he was plus 27 and Purdue wins by 27. So
27, right.
you know, he really you know, kind of put his stamp on the game. But one guy too who I feel like really set the tone early, and you know, his stat line's not going to jump out at you, but CJ Cox, man, and he fed off of Braden. At that start, he had that little 5-point swing and really kind of turned the tide early. When you know, he really set that tone with Braden, both on the defensive end, hit the big three, that you alluded to earlier, where you know, I don't know if we've heard Mackey that loud in a really long time. And just like a shout out to him for the way that he played and really started that game, because you know, he kind of went for the kill shot early. And man, he just, the way that he defends and can score. I'm not sure if there's a, like, I feel like every time you try to draw like a defensive comparison for him, his offensive game is better than that guy. And anytime you try to draw like an offensive comparison, his defensive game is better than that guy. Man, the future is just so bright for him. Like, he can do everything out there. And man, he just had a really, really good game.
Yeah, it seems as though like with each game you're just seeing him become more and more comfortable, and I think it more it really shows obviously at home, which is what you'd expect, you know, from guys a freshman. But yeah, I mean that five those 5 quick points that he scored, it had extreme Alabama like vibes to it, because yeah, I mean he gets the steal, and yeah, gets the steal in the layup and come back down. We get another steal, and shout out to Fletch for getting it up to him. And he just immediately pulls it, snaps the net, and yeah, Mackey goes crazy. I mean, honestly, he was looking like your boy at the Colrec once upon a time. You dig? But yeah, I love what we've seen from CJ lately. Just his continued growth and development. It's been so good, and like you said, his stat line doesn't pop out at you, but like I mean, 11 points, and he had 3 steals, you know, 3 or 4 from the field. He had all 4 of his free throws, and he did all of that in less than 20 minutes. So I mean, he not only played well, but he played it. He was efficient. He was efficient with his minutes, and he well, yeah, I mean, yeah, he had 3 fouls, but obviously that's still kind of the learning curve that comes with being a freshman in I think in a major conference in college. But yeah, he definitely. He was that 4 scorer on Friday. He was that 4 scorer that we routinely talk about how like you need to have a fourth guy who's coming in and who's scoring. And you know, again, like it's an open application for everybody. So whether it's CJ, whether it's Miles, whether it's Cam, it doesn't really matter. But I mean, CJ seems like a guy who, like you said, he has the offensive prowess to where he can be a more consistent scorer the way that we need. But also, like you said, he brings such value defensively, to where Paint trusts him to be able to be like, yeah, okay, you want to pick somebody up 94 feet, do it. I don't care. And he's been getting better at it too, because earlier in the year, if he would pick somebody up, he'd pick up like a stupid foul or so. But I think now he's getting better at it, knowing like kind of how to pick his spots and you know when the time is to be aggressive and try to go for a steal. So yeah, just a really good game from him.
Yeah, and if CJ Cox was looking like you at the co-rec, then Fletch was looking like me
Don't
at
do
the
that.
co-rec. He just had another like quiet game. Like nobody really, talks about Fletch that much. He kind of flies under the radar. As Brayden and Trey both have been getting kind of more of the publicity. All he does is just go out, shoot 50% from three. He'll give you, 15, 18 points a game. Against Michigan, it was 18 points on 5 of 10 from three. And there was one play that like really stood out where you could, you just kind of had to laugh because you were like, all right, this is how we know we're rolling good. Fletch tried to hit Cam with a pass and it hit off of Cam's leg or his shoe and rolled right back to Fletch, who was wide open, and he knocked down a three. And it was just like, all right, this is one of those games. But man, just the consistency that Fletch brings, game in, game out every week. You can just count on him as kind of Mr. Reliable. And just wanted to make sure, to give him a shout out because, I don't think it would happen just because it'd be really hard to have three guys like first team all Big Ten. But you could argue that Fletch should be right up there as well with the type of year that he is having.
Yeah, no, he's been quietly having a good year. And I think what's kind of interesting about his stat line in the Michigan game is that he was 5 of 10 from three. He took and made more than the entire team did against Ohio State. There were 3 of 9 in that game, and he was 5 of 10. And we were talking about it a bit before we started recording, but like, I'm okay with him shooting 8, 10 threes a game. I genuinely am. I mean, like that means he's getting the shots up. He's being aggressive. I know that he's still good to attack the basket. He might shoot threes a little bit better than you do. And I'm pretty sure he defends better than you did. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, man, just another like again like. We talk about it seemingly like every week, maybe every other week, about how you watch a game and you know he hits some shots, but then you go and look at the stat line, the stat sheet, and you're like, wait, oh, he had 18, oh, he had 20, and again too, like, I mean, he was rather efficient as well. So yeah, I definitely think, yeah, if he's not getting first team all Big Ten, I expect to see him on at least on one of the other teams for sure.
Yeah. And one other guy who I wanted to mention as well, and we talked about him a little bit, but he just every time you watch him play, man, he just oozes potential. And that's Riley Burgess. And he knocked down two big threes. In fact, he was the only other guy outside of Fletch to knock down more than one three in the whole game. And he was two from three, which isn't like eye popping, but the most impressive thing for me is that there was no hesitation when he took his threes after a couple really bad threes on the West Coast trip. And he bounced right back, and he gives you just a spark off the bench. And one thing that I really like about watching him play is he just always seems like he's having fun on the court too, man. He's always just smiling, hands up, getting the crowd pumped up. He's a real energy guy. And he's a guy that I think Purdue is going to lean on more and more kind of as we go into February and March.
Yeah, I mean, if he can find some consistency in terms of shooting, that I feel like that provides a whole new wrinkle to what we're able to do. Again, like, I mean, anyone who's playing, if they're able to give us, some type of offensive production, some consistent offensive production, not necessarily saying they have to score, 10 plus points. I know I was just talking about, having that four score, but just for those guys coming off the bench, if they can come in and give you something consistently positive from an offensive standpoint, that goes a long way. And I mean, Raleigh played, a little over 14 minutes and he had 6 points and three rebounds, a steal and a block. So, I mean, to me, that's that for a guy who's kind of had more spot minutes. He hasn't necessarily played like, extended stretches of games unless it's been, a blowout really one way or the other. That was a really good game for him. And yeah, if he can kind of show more of those signs going forward, I definitely can see Painter finding more minutes for him. And I think that again, that's another thing that bodes well for us as well, because he has a bigger frame as it is. I'm sure, obviously, during his time at Purdue, he's gonna continue to work on his to work on his on his body in terms of just like, making sure that he becomes stronger and obviously knowing how to use his body, but whether it's, in the post or in the post offensively or even like, defending. But yeah, it was nice to see him have a good game, like you said, because I think it was what the three he took at Oregon, and that was like it was like DJ Bird years ago when he took that three and immediately ran to the bench. It was not the best shot, but yeah, the fact that he still kind of knows like, hey, if I'm open, it's going up. That's kind of the mentality you need from him, because I mean, you can't get on a heater if you're not shooting. So good for Raleigh for sure.
With that win now, Purdue 16-5 overall, 8-2 in the Big Ten, in second place. Weirdly, they've played two. Well, I think it's one more game as of right now. But as the week started, they had played two more games than both Michigan State and Michigan. And still waiting for Michigan to get that first loss just to kind of give you some hope, because right now the way that they're playing, it doesn't look like they're going to lose anytime soon.
It doesn't.
But you're right there. This game on Friday, is one where it doesn't matter what your record is, it doesn't matter where you're at in the standings. You always want to beat IU. And they come to Mackey on Friday at 8 o'clock tip. You gotta think, Mackey is gonna be on a whole nother level Friday night. I gotta think the students are gonna be good and well hydrated and ready to go. And it's really kind of a game where it feels like it obviously not to the extent of what happened with Michigan, but you want to get out on to a start like how you did. IU, is a team that has struggled recently, but you really don't want to give them any signs of life.
Right.
And just kind of don't let them hang around, especially like in a rivalry game. It's one where you want to just get going from jump. It's gonna be a fun environment come Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to, just basically hit copy and paste replay on the Michigan game. Obviously I'm totally down for that, but like you said, I think the important thing is that they come out strong, grab the lead and then be able to kind of control the game, like you said, with the rivalry game. And we've seen it, whether it's been a highly ranked Purdue team going to IU or even them coming up here, like those games, like it's a rivalry game. You just sometimes you just most of the time, rather, you end up throwing out the record, and those games can end up being closer than they need to be. And so, you just hope that's not the case this Friday. Like you said, it's going to be loud in there, and then, it's a blackout, so obviously that means that people aren't going to wear black, but whatever they're supposed to. And I'm not gonna. I mean, I would like for them to be able to start off strong and just be able to control the game, but honestly, because of the fact it's a rivalry game, just win. And I'll be fine with that. But yeah, because IU they've been struggling lately, and obviously they have some turmoil that's been going on their end. But you know, nothing would kind of ease some of the pains that they've been going through recently than to come into Mackey and be able to steal one from us, and we definitely don't want to see that. So yeah, excited for the game, but yeah, just definitely want to see us come out and play with that same kind of attention to detail and urgency and just overall energy that they started the Michigan game with. The shots might not fall, but in terms of, I think in the Michigan game they started off, they turned Michigan over, I think it was 8 times in the first 6 minutes. You come out with that type of energy, that type of attention to detail, against IU, and you could be in a similar situation in terms, maybe not as big a lead, but in terms of how you're able to kind of control, get grab control of the game, and then obviously the fans will be in it from start to jump. I mean, from start to end. So, yeah, fuck IU.
And it's been kind of fun, seeing on Twitter and everywhere, like the different kind of highlights and all of that. And one that kind of really that I've enjoyed watching is Edie last year
The three.
banking in the three from the top of the
Yeah.
key.
Yeah, it was a moment.
And I just can't help but think, like, man, I really want to see like Raleigh or like see a big just bury a three from the top of the key again this year. That would kind of just be like the icing on the cake. But kind of curious because, let's not kid ourselves. The games against IU always kind of mean a little bit more in a rivalry game. But just kind of curious for you, what's your favorite moment in the Purdue IU rivalry?
And it's got to be Carson putting
Okay.
man's on a poster in at
With the left
IU.
hand.
Yeah, like I'm not like what you said. I'm not playing around. I feel like I can see, I can hear the color commentary. I remember exactly where I was and like how I was watching it at what is it, the alumni bar in Georgia, and I just remember like. I remember like thinking like knowing Carson at some point was probably gonna put somebody on a poster, but the fact that he did it against IU, whoo, wee, that was special, man. And of course, like there's other ones that stick out like Octius, obviously baptizing the masses, the ED3 that you mentioned, but that one, that Carson one, that one, that one was beautiful, man. That was my favorite for sure.
Yeah, I think just the way that he dunked it too, like I said, with his offhand,
Right.
and then like you said it, him saying I'm not playing around it. There's been all kinds of moments, and I was looking back at one, and I can't remember, was that game, was the Carson dunk game the same one where Harms had the tip in at the end to win it?
No, I think there were
Or was that a
different
year
games.
apart?
Yeah, I think they might have been a year apart because if I'm correct, the Carson one was when that was the year when he ended up winning. I think it was like the national like guard of the year, like the Jerry West Award in college, which is like best shooting guard in the country. And I think that was during the like 20 or 21 game win streak that we had, because like Vince and all those Vince, Dakota, PJ. Isaac Oss, they were all on the squad, but yeah, I remember that one, yeah, the following year, because that was when Matt Harms was really starting to get hated on
Yeah,
for just
and
being annoying as shit.
I feel like that was kind of an underrated moment in the rivalry simply because how much they hated Matt Harms, and then for him to get the tip in to win the
Right,
game in
right.
Assembly Hall, it was just kind of awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're wrong about the Carson dunk. I think his dunk is kind of 1A and Octius dunk probably 1B, as far as like moments in the rivalry recently where you're just like, dude, God.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you could, to me, you could, yeah, you can put them in whatever order you want to in terms of 1A, 1B. I think the thing that gets me about both of them is that I didn't see like neither of that, like you didn't see either of them coming. Like Carson like jumps, he jumps the passing lane from what Josh Newkirk. And so he's like, yeah, he's driving. And I'm like, all right, is he, oh, he's, he, oh shit, he's gonna go, oh shit. And then I remember Octius, it was just like they were swinging the ball, I think, from like left to right around the perimeter, and he just saw a lane and just like beelines it and goes up there. Because I remember the broadcast, like they were talking about like, oh, like this team knows how to defend, and then all of a sudden it's Octius, just poster of a fucking lifetime. And even the reactions of the announcers, I was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I remember I was at a bar in Georgia, and yeah, I yelled rather loudly. But yeah, those, I mean, there's so many good moments, man. There's so many good moments. And who knows,
Shout
maybe
out to
this,
John Octius, man. Like,
right? Yeah.
that was awesome.
Right. Octius Prime. Shout out to him.
But yeah, like you were saying, there's just been so many kind of cool moments. As Purdue fans, we've kind of been on the right side for a majority of these games recently. And so it's been kind of neat to see both. I feel like a lot of the moments have happened at Assembly Hall too, which just makes it that much sweeter. But that 83 last year, man, he banked it into
Think didn't Painter say he was like he didn't like he's not he's not he wasn't it wasn't good, he said it wasn't a good shot, he just shot it so poorly it went in.
And that the IU fans just hated every part of it
Oh,
too, which just
yeah.
makes it that much better.
That was, yeah, it was that moment where it was like, all right, like it's this probably isn't gonna go our way tonight type moments. So it would be,
So, like,
it'd be dope as
Raleigh.
if be dope if Braden went ahead and fucked around and got a triple double. That'd be pretty dope.
Hey,
Been close enough.
I would not argue with that. Hopefully there's another moment that we can talk about that'll kind of live
Purdue lore.
yeah, that's a good way of putting it. That we can just kind of bask in, and IU fans, will just be IU fans, and they'll have Notre Dame football to look forward to. I did see where it's kind of interesting where IU fans are wanting us to pull what they did in football, where they're saying that
Right. Beat the
after
shit out
the
of them so
IU
you get the
loss,
yeah.
Walters got fired. So now they want us to beat IU so Woodson can get fired. And man, how the tides have turned. But
It was all good just a week ago.
it was. But we will see what'll happen. Like, hopefully we'll have some more moments to discuss like that. It's always kind of fun to go down memory lane, especially when that memory lane is an ass whooping against IU, and some really fun moments lately. So we will always take time to embrace and talk about moments of Purdue beating and dominating IU. But for the game this year, the home game, they will play at Assembly Hall in the middle of February, I believe, at the end of February. I apologize, on February 23rd. But this game on Friday again will tip off 8 p.m. It'll be on Fox again, so another nationally televised game. And like we said, if they want to make it be like the Michigan game, which same time, same place, same channel, we're not gonna fight them.
Right, I'm definitely not. I'm just not, man. I'm a huge proponent of stress-free sports. So yeah, if they want to make sure that we start this upcoming weekend off the right way, I'm not gonna be mad about it. Believe me.
Well, we will see what happens. No matter what happens, we'll be here to break it all down. I want to thank everybody for listening. Once again, thank everybody for sharing the podcast, for interacting with us. Please continue to interact with us on Twitter. Really do enjoy that. And most importantly, everyone, especially this week, boiler up.
Yes, sir.
So.
Boiler the